Auburn drops a tough one at home to Oklahoma. This one really stings.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up? We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five. Ready to break down this tough, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, soul-crushing loss to Oklahoma. That's the only thing I can really think of to describe it. It just absolutely gutted everyone. The way it went down, Auburn dominating, basically controlling the game the whole game, and then see it go away just like that in one snap. No pun intended. One snap, one play, and the whole game's over. But we'll break it down, drive by drive, play by play, whatever we got to do to vent for therapy to get through this thing. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. We talk about it every single week, every single show. There's just no reason not to exhaust all options to find out, to make sure that you're doing everything you need to be doing as far as retirement goes, as far as savings goes, to make sure you're protecting your wealth, you're growing your wealth, you're keeping it away from senseless fees, you're sheltering it from the IRS, doing everything you can to do what's best for you. So check them out. Ford Stokes, get a free portfolio analysis at retirementresults.com/plan. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you. Tell him you love him. I know he's struggling. He's hurting right now too. So great guy, Ford Stokes, Active Wealth Management. Auburn drops another one at home, 27-21 against Oklahoma, and played what was, I believe, one of the best games of the Hugh Freeze tenure, to be honest, as far as almost a complete game on both sides of the ball, and just had a really, really unfortunate chain of events that happened at the end of the game that ended up costing the game. Hugh Freeze talks about the razor thin margin of error. And it is that. It is that. The margin of error is razor thin with this team, and you made one mistake. And I say one mistake. You made a couple mistakes throughout the game, but one mistake that actually cost you the game. And let's just go ahead and dive straight into that, because I know there's a lot of talk about there's going to be a lot of talk about this. There's going to be a lot of blame going around, and I think it's obviously justified, but where do you put the blame? And let's talk about the last two drives in particular. I say last two drives before the interception. You got the drive before the interception, and then you have the interception drive. And, you know, you get the ball with, 11 or so minutes to go in the game, and you're up 11 points, and you run the ball on first down, and then you call two RPOs. And the decision was to pass the ball, which I don't necessarily have an issue with. Again, we talked about it on the show this week. It's hard to go up to the line of scrimmage and just have no answers and have options. It helps this offensive line. It helps a lot of things. But at that particular point in time, you're running the ball pretty well, and I don't know who it's on as far as the decision goes. But I feel like you kind of gave them a little bit more opportunity by putting the ball in the air there, almost through an interception on one of them, and sort of had a wasted drive. And then you obviously miss a 51-yard field goal, which I don't have any problem with attempting that field goal. I saw some people say we should have punted, we should have done this, we should have done that. A lot of that's hindsight. Look, Towns Magoo is an unbelievable kicker. He's made that kick a billion times, even in high school. And I understand he's a freshman. I understand you got to, maybe you should worry about a possible miss there. But look, it's just if you play that way, if you play that way every single game, then you're just going to have you're going to play scared. You're going to play with issues. It's just not going to be good. So I don't have any problems with that. But the conversation should be around, Is there a way to situationally when you're running an RPO offense, is there a way to lock in, maybe have more of a lock in on, hey, it has to be a very, very special case for you to pull this and throw it. It has to be a very, very special case. Like, it has to be a no brainer. Like, we're talking about, like, they have just completely left someone uncovered in those situations before we throw it. Because again, you could have run a ton of more time off the clock and you just didn't. You burned maybe a little bit over a minute and you missed a field goal. And then they get over a third of their total offense in one play, and going deep, burning Kay and Lee, and took the top off the defense with a one man route, and threw a beautiful ball, made a great catch, gets down there, cuts it to five, and everybody's okay. I'm a little bit nervous now. We're starting to get a little bit nervous, but you go back out there and you have a. What I feel like is you're having a statement drive. You run seven plays, five of them are run plays, and you are gashing them. You're punching them in the mouth. You've got them on the ropes. And then you get down to a little bit past midfield. You throw one little pass to pick up a first down, and it was a great play call, a little swing pass. For the most part, Hugh was in his bag. I felt like play calling the whole game. I thought the play calling was masterful. And we're going to talk more about Peyton's performance in just a minute. But you're marching down the field, and then you get into third and four, and you go into an empty set, five wide receivers, which is really, really puzzling. That part is really, really puzzling, to go from gashing the ball down the field. I don't mind a pass there. I don't necessarily hate a pass there, but going five wide receivers, you're probably going to want to get something out quick. And then you're putting Peyton on an island with only five blockers, that with an offensive line that's somewhat struggling at times in obvious passing situations. And in that point, and Oklahoma just calls. I've never really seen this before. What they did, it's almost like they knew what we were going to do. They showed that they were going to bring the whole house, and they actually did. I've seen delayed blitzes before, so I've seen a linebacker sit there for like a count or two and then blitz. I've never seen a delayed zone drop, and if you look at it. All three linebackers, I don't know if it was actually three linebackers, it may have been two linebackers and a safety. They showed blitz. Like they actually rushed. They didn't just show it. They actually rushed. They actually made contact with some of the offensive linemen. So much so that Jeremiah Wright, the guy that made the interception, Jeremiah Wright almost knocked him on his behind. He hit him very hard. But all three of those guys, they rush and then they bail immediately. And they were clearly only bailing to jump one thing, and that was a slant. That was something quick over the middle, almost baiting that look. So it's almost like you had five wide receivers. You had two inside guys on both sides of the quarterback, just outside the tackles. And the read was going to be, they were trying to, it looked like they were forcing the read to be a slant. And that with doing the delayed zone drop, it made it even look more like that was the read. And it was. Sam Jackson was open, and Peyton saw him, but he didn't pick up that delayed drop, and he threw an interception. And it was the most costly interception, the most costly interception, obviously, of the season, but the most costly interception maybe of this, I don't want to say tenure, but one of the most costly turnovers. There was so much momentum that could have been built by that win, by winning that game. That was a costly turnover for sort of like the, I don't want to be too dramatic, but maybe the trajectory of the rest of the season, the trajectory of, where Auburn's going. I mean, it could be a derailing sort of turnover. I don't really understand. Let me back up. Hugh talks about the razor thin margin of error, and I agree with him. And he talks about how, you know, when you're building a program, players have to learn, not only do you have to bring in players, but you got to learn how to win. Okay. You got to learn how to win a game when you're playing bad. You got to learn how to just come, even when things look grim, you got to learn how to win, got to learn how to close out a game. I think the same thing goes for coaches. I think coaches also, you when you're taking over a program, you've got to figure out ways how to close out games, how to win games, how to become a winner, how to learn how to win, just like the players. And I think those last two drives before the interception were, I'm going to be honest, a little bit of a, you know, not knowing how to close out a game. Not knowing how to close out a game, but just not being able to, you kind of coached your way out of it. And I love Hugh Freeze. I think he's the guy for this team. And I think yesterday's team wins a lot of football games, you know, on the schedule. If that team shows up every week, you're going to win, a bunch of football games. But when it's crunch time, you got to be able to still be focused and make the right calls on the coaching side and on the playing side. And that to me, and Hugh said it, like, I can't put him in that position. Like I should never have put him in that position to where that was even an option. Third and four minutes and 11 seconds left to go. If you run the ball, if you throw something to the perimeter, throws anything but over the middle, in traffic, anything, literally anything, you can punt. And then they have to drive the whole length of the field up five. You're up 5 points. They have to score a touchdown. They don't have a very explosive offense, minus, you know, the two big plays they had that was basically their whole offense. They don't really have the guys to be able to make it happen. But you did. You went five wide. You left one guy unblocked and got in Peyton's face really, really quickly. I almost wish we could have taken a sack there, but Peyton saw the slant. If he puts a little bit of more air under it, it's six. But again, he didn't see the delayed zone drop out of the linebacker. Linebacker. I really challenge everybody to go back and watch it. It's really crazy. Like I almost think if Jeremiah Wright doesn't hit him, it almost propelled him back into the play. Like it almost accelerated his drop to where he got deep enough to where he can make that play. It's just freakish, like a really, really freakish, good, great play call, but really, really freakish play that is going to be pretty costly, very, very costly. I want to switch gears. I want to talk about Peyton's game. We talked about earlier in the week, I felt like Peyton gives us the best chance to win out of those two guys, out of Hank and Peyton. It's no knock on Hank. Hank's just really young. But, if I told you before the game he's going to go 21 of 32 for 338 and three touchdowns, you'd probably say I'm crazy, number one. There's no way. And then number two, you say, well, we had to have just blown him out. And really, that kind of felt like the way the game played out up until the end. Like we were controlling everything, every aspect of it. They're so good on defense. They are phenomenal. It's one of the best defenses. Their defensive line is so active. Their linebackers are incredible. They're so fast. They make plays. It's like there'll be an opening and then it just shuts like in a heartbeat. It's crazy how good they are, and you really did whatever you wanted to do against them. You proved that you can go up against a top defense and still be able to throw the ball. Like I expected us to have to run a lot of read option. I expected us to have to run the ball a ton more, but Peyton played really well. Like there's nothing you can really say. That last interception is unfortunate, but I agree with Hugh Freeze. He shouldn't have been put in that situation. You know that's a potential to happen. Like, you know that in crunch time, sometimes he may not be able to see, or he may see past a zone defender. He may not be able to actually, you know, pick it up whenever the read is correct. He may not be able to find the correct guy. It's just, you can't put that guy in that position. And I think it overshadows how remarkable he played. The three touchdowns he threw, unbelievable passes. The pass to Keandre Lambert Smith was in a bucket. The throw to Malcolm Simmons was fantastic. He put enough touch on it, and he threw it away from the middle of the field to let Malcolm be able to have all of the room that he could ever have to be able to get separation and make that catch and score. And then also the touch pass to Luke Deal. He threw it kind of where nobody could get it but him. Even though there was a pass interference, he still threw it away from the defense and kept them from being able to deflect it, intercept it, whatever. Just played great, man. Early the first drive, he throws a seed to Cam Coleman on third down, steps up in the pocket, rips one to Cam Coleman. It just goes off his hands. That would have been an easy first down. Like, where does Auburn go? What happened? What does this game look like if that pass is caught? You know, what does that first drive look like? I just thought Peyton played great. And it's clear to me that, you know, I understand that the bad can come out. I understand that when things can go wrong, it can be troublesome. it can be tough to watch, but I just think I think Auburn, if you want to try to win games this year, I think he's definitely your best option. And then I'm not sure that Auburn's not going into the, you know, I feel confident Auburn's going to go into the portal to bring in a guy for next year. So it's like when people say you should play Hank for the future, I just don't know that Hank is the immediate future. He could be the future in 2 years, but I don't know that he's the immediate future as far as 2025. So I don't know that you gain a whole ton. And I want to say, I think you honestly punish, not that Hank is that bad, but you know, he is young. So like, do you punish some guys that can make plays, get yards, do things by just saying we're going to sacrifice for the future when you can win some games right now if you continue to develop and can finally just get over the hump and make and win a game, close out a game? I still think you got to roll with Peyton and let him finish out the year, and unless there's an injury or he just completely falls apart. I just thought he played phenomenal. He played tough. He played fearless. He ran the ball hard. He ran the ball with authority. He took a lot of punishment. He just, the very, 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 at the very, very end, he was put in put in a bad situation, and he threw an interception. And it just so happened that the guy went 70 yards to take the lead. It's just very, very unfortunate. Overshadows a phenomenal game by Peyton. And then the last thing we'll talk about, the defense. You had two busted plays. You had a quarterback scramble for 48 yards or 50 yards or something like that to start the game, their very first drive, and you're like, oh, boy, are we about to do it again? Are we about to make a backup quarterback look like a Heisman contender? And then they clamped it down. From then on, they clamped it down. Oklahoma had 111 yards in the first half. Ended up with only 290 total yards, I believe. Just played, and I think that's about what they averaged, maybe a little bit less than what they averaged. I think they were a little bit closer to 300, maybe like 299 or something like that. So you held them under their average. You only gave up 11 first downs to your 26. You got off the field on third down. They only got 2 out of 11 third downs, and they were 0-for-1. On fourth down. So you played again. I mean, you played really, really good on defense. You got off the field when you had to get off the field. You got big sacks. You played really well in coverage. You had what I thought was a bogus pass interference call. You kind of limited, you did have 7 penalties for 61 yards. I don't know exactly how many were on defense. I know you had one pass interference call, which I felt like was pretty bogus. They threw the ball into a tuba, and they called a pass interference. There's no way Shaquille O'Neal doesn't make that catch in the end zone, but whatever. They threw the flag. They didn't call holding either. They called pass interference. So I just don't understand how that call's made, and put the ball on the two, and you ended up. That's another thing. You got a pass interference. They put the ball on the two, and I think you ended up with a field goal. Like you played, they did get a procedural penalty or something like that, backed them up, and they ended up having to kick a field goal. Like stuff like that. Even when you got yourself in binds, you just continue to play hard. There were some freshmen that we're going to talk about throughout this week. DeMarcus Riddick, we caught wind, and if you remember at the barn, you already knew about this, but we caught wind that he may have gotten moved a little bit more into the defensive line groom, playing a lot more edge, and he was ferocious. He was a factor. He gave that defense another element that I didn't even think they had. So I'm looking forward to seeing him continue to get more snaps and continue to get more playing time, because he was frustrating that Oklahoma offense. I mean, he was chasing that quarterback all over the place. I don't know if they credit him with a sack. They should have. It was a tackle for loss on the quarterback that he, you know, broke contain. And it looked like he may be able to pick up a first down. And his Riddick's closing speed is incredible, and he stopped him. And it was it's two good sides, two great performances from the offense and the defense. And I felt like the only difference was you coached yourself out of it at the end. I really do. And that sucks to say. And Hugh Freeze said the same thing. It sucks. It stings to think. And he knows it. He knows that you had a almost flawless performance on offense, an almost flawless performance on defense, and you coached yourself out of it. And we'll go into detail again over the week on, you know, things that could have been the difference in the game, some coaching decisions that, you know, were sort of head scratching, and we'll talk through it. I feel like the coaching has been fine all year. I feel like you've had some execution issues, and then you finally get those execution issues kind of cleaned up, and you just sort of screw the pooch there at the end. And you know, put your quarterback in a bad spot. It's tough. I apologize for not being able to go live last night. Had some scheduling issues and just really couldn't get it up. Really couldn't get the show up. So hopefully, you get a chance to sort of vent, and then we'll go live. Have some therapy this morning, and then we'll go live again tonight, and let you guys have an even bigger therapy session, and we'll dive into it and break it down. I'm sure you guys have a lot of great questions, a lot of great comments, and we're going to go into a little bit of it all a little bit later. But guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Hang in there. I do think there's a lot of positives you can take from yesterday. And hopefully they can hold this team together. And that could, because that game right there, that offense, that defense, that can win some football games. That can win some football games down the stretch, and hopefully get you to a bowl, postseason bowl game, and sort of continue to be build some momentum, find some momentum to build. There was a lot of positives from yesterday. So, guys, I appreciate it. We'll talk a little bit later today. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.